talked to somebody this week about Jesus, raise your hand if you did. I did. If you did, then you still got a few days left, didn't you? Otherwise, we'd chop your head off on Sunday. Praise God. You know, it does matter. I'm glad somebody talked to you. Somebody talked to me. I'm so glad that was just real with me. Amen. I want to look tonight, if you want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read there in just a moment. This has actually been on my heart for maybe 4 or 5 days. And we want to live the life that God has for you as a Christian. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about contentment. Now, if I say contentment tonight, what does that mean? When I say contentment, what does that mean to you? Shout it out, people. Emily, what does that mean to you? Colleen? Peace, okay.
Satisfied.
Satisfied, okay. Calmness, okay. Anything else? Contentment.
Being okay with where we're at in life.
That's good. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly right, Brian. Amen. Any other thoughts tonight? Contentment. Happiness. It involves happiness, no doubt. This is a really important thought tonight because without this ingredient, all the other areas of your life are going to suffer. Your marriage will suffer. Your financial situation will suffer. You won't do good at work. It's a really important thing. It's not just take it or leave it, but. And so for non-Christians, there is no foundation or reason to be content for non-Christians. You know why? Because you're heading towards hell. What's to be content in that? And 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable, right? So the world may have a certain semblance of contentment, but it's a false contentment. But for the Christian has every reason to be content. And yet, many, many Christians are not content. There's something wrong in this. So I'm not here tonight to condemn anybody, but how many wants the real good? See, the devil will fight you on important things. And he knows if he makes you discontent, he's going to get a lot of other things just by inspiring that in your life. So let me give you a biblical definition. I want you to listen to this carefully tonight. A biblical definition of contentment as it's a, well, let me read the scripture first. But godliness, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation. And a snare, and getting rich doesn't mean you've got millions in the bank. It's wanting more and more. It says, and you fall into a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. So basically, this scripture tells us, without contentment, we're going to pierce our lives with grief. Does that make sense? We're going to reach a place. So let's really dig in tonight. I want every person here to be open. Because some of you say, oh yeah, I'm content. And then we start to really look. And you find out maybe you're not. And maybe there are some areas in your life that are troubled by your discontentment. So let's look at an actual biblical definition of that word there in that scripture. It's a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to his lot. It's a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to his lot, whatever it may be. I like what the Message translation does with that. It says, these are the things I want you to teach and preach. If you have leaders there who teach otherwise and refuse the solid words of our Master Jesus and his godly instruction, tag them for what they are. Ignorant windbags who infect the air with germs of envy. Envy is always wanting discontent, and it's worse. Controversy, bad mouthing, suspicious rumors. Eventually there's an epidemic of backstabbing, and truth is but a distant memory. They think religion is a way to make a fast buck. A devout life does bring wealth. I like that part there. A devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Since we entered the world penniless, and we'll leave it penniless. If we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, that's enough. Boy, I tell you, the standard is really low here. There's not a person here tonight that doesn't have a place to stay and food to eat. Everybody here has that. I can tell by the way you look tonight. Amen? And you know what? Even if you were living in a cardboard box, still a place to stay. He doesn't say how fancy it has to be, right? So, it's so important. Now, godly people should be very content. And I'll tell you how I know that. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Weren't they? They were just content. Jesus came down every day. That was a highlight of their day. Jesus came down. And you know what the devil did? He caused them to lose everything because he raised discontent. Eve thought, there's something more. I need that new car. I need some of that fruit, that special kind of fruit. And so she became discontent. How many can see that? She had other things that worked in her, but she became discontent. So let's dig into this definition for just a moment. A state of mind. A state of mind. So discontentment is in your brain. It's in your mind. It's in your thought processes. It's in your mental makeup, your thinking. And Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have to let God renew your mind, or you'll never get rid of this discontentedness. You know, it comes out, so it's the state of mind. Now listen carefully. I'm going to give you three phrases. And you ask yourself if you've said these things. I need. Here's the second one. I want. How about this one? This is huge in America. I deserve. Here's a newsflash. You don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything but hell. By the mercy and grace of God, I get heaven. But those are some signs of your state of mind. I need this. It's a necessity, Pastor. I always think back in time to, back in the day when the settlers were coming into the West and all that. They might go to town once a month. We have to go to Amazon once a day. Don't we? Let's just be real with that. And so there were so many things they found out they didn't need. As they went west, they would load those wagons down with all kinds of things. And all along those trails from east to west were pianos, furniture, clothing. You know, it's amazing that you don't need nearly as much as you think you need. But we use that phrase, I need it. I need it. And so I'm going to buy it. I need it. I want it. I deserve it. And so what happens, there's something the devil gets in your mind. He gets in your thought. And you know what? We are masters at justification. Masters. Now, I'm not trying to make you less. I'm trying to make you more. Because with everything that we want and need and think we have to have comes a price. And it brings, and it's, you know, the new thing never lasts more than a few hours or a few days or maybe a few weeks if we're lucky. So he says it's a state of mind. Now, here's the second part. In which one's desires are confined. See, this is the mentality of America. You can have anything you want. Just believe it. You can have, but that is not a biblical truth. God doesn't say you can have anything you want. And so he says, in which desires are confined. So here's part of a key to becoming content. You are going to have to confine or limit your desires. What do I mean by that? I mean, you just don't let your desires run. You know, wherever you look, the world tries to inspire more desire. Well, I've got to have that. My house has to be that way. My life has to be that way. I need that kind of job. I need that kind of person in my life. And so, but what's happening, you limit your desires. Okay, again, a state of mind in which one's desires are confined. You confine them. Now, what are the boundaries? You don't go to the pastor and say, what can I desire? That ain't my business to do that. He says, in which one's desires are confined to his lot. Here's some. We all have different lots in life, don't we? Some of us live in this kind of house. Some of us live in that kind of house. That's not the point, right? But the point is, each of us have boundaries. We have a lot. We have certain things. And for us to live, let me just back up a bit. Young people today, your lot is different than your parents' lot. They can spend money where you can. One of the biggest things you can get into is when you think you need to be at their level when you're in your 20s. They've worked their whole lives. They probably have a little more living. That's not a good, bad, or ugly. That's just a different lot in life, right? So you limit your life and your desires. You don't let your mind go because your lot doesn't allow for that. So he says you limit, it's confined to his, to whatever that may be, your present situation, the present place where you're at. So a state of mind, limited desires. Next tomorrow, when you start one, limit your desires. Say, you know what? I don't need that. I heard a guy the other day. I don't remember who it was, but he said something. He said this guy had raised a family, had 4 kids. His wife never worked. She raised those kids, and so people were saying, how in the world? I don't know if he was wealthy then or what. But they said, how in the world did you do that? He said, oh, it's too heavy for you to understand. You'll never get it. And he says, if I speak it, you won't get it. And so they kept pressing. Well, we want to know, what's the secret? You've accomplished. He said, I learned to say no. No, we don't need to go out to eat tonight. No, we don't need that new this or that new that or this no. Now, I understand God doesn't call us to be stingy prudes, but there's a place we say no, because many times our yeses just, you say, well, I didn't have to borrow money, but let me just tell you something. If you don't, God actually, if you look through the Bible, there were wealth builders. You will never build a wealth in your life, and I'm not talking about a wealth, I'm just talking about the ability to do it, unless you learn to say no at certain times. If you just spend right down to the last penny every time, guess what? You'll be right down to the penny every last time. So, there is that ability to say no. And, you know, old-timers, my parents' generation, they understand this better than I do. I understand it better than you Gen Zers and whatever other groups are. I can't keep track of all these groups anymore. But your present situation. Now, let's think about some critical areas. There's 4 areas that God put on my heart that I think we really have problems with being content. The first one, of course, is in money or the lack thereof. Here's a newsflash. You can be poor and absolutely content. In fact, your poor here is mega wealthy compared to the poor in Africa. You know, I think Kyle or somebody shared a while back a story. They did a survey. The most unhappy people in the world are Americans, and we have the most. And the happiest people, I think, were Nigerians, was it Nigerians? And they have, well, they're way, way down the list. But they're happy because they're just happy with what they got. And they're not worried about what they don't got. So let's just, so here's the first chart. We have a discontent, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to stop feeding your mind the stuff that makes you discontent. You know, they've proven, for instance, like with TikTok, all these young people, and they look at people that are made up and perfect, and, you know, their face has a zit, and none of those people, you know, on TikTok have any skin problems at all. And so what happens is when you feed your mind all this stuff, you just want. And we all have different things, right? We could say, well, you know, my wife is. What about you? What do you look at? You know, me, I might look at a new horse. I said to Norman yesterday, we were talking about this horse. And he's breaking for me. She's really nice. And so I says, maybe she's out of a horse that we have named Shameless. And so I said, maybe we should repeat that breeding. And Norman says, now why would you want to do that? Collect some more horses? Well, he was right. All right. I'm getting too old for this horse thing. But you know what? That's exactly right. But that's the way my mind thinks. I think multiply. Whatever you got, multiply. Don't laugh. She's got 60 chickens out there. We started with about 5. And now she's hatching them. So, how in the world am I lost my train of thought? We want stuff, right? And so Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. When we say the love of money, it doesn't mean you have stacks of gold. It means you, with the love of what money gives you. I got to have more. I got to make more. Do you really? Or should you be content where you're at? Are you with me? See, in America, I need to make more money. I need to make more money. No, that's not the case. You need to get content right where you're at. Chances are, if you'll be content where you're at, God may increase your income. But he waits for you to get content. Because you've got a problem. And if he increases you, you'll just need more. And he'll increase you, and you'll just need more. Because the problem's here and here. Are you with me? So in the area of money, he says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what your neighbors have. Is that what it says? Being content with what you have. What do you have? Well, be content with it. It's enough. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Be content with what you have. Whatever it is, be content with your couch. Be content with your carport. Be content with the yard or whatever it is. Be content when it comes to these. Be content with your job. I'm not saying God doesn't move us and do it, but discontentment is like a disease when it comes in a money arena. So you have to fight against always wanting something else. I like what James 4 says. What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have. So you scheme and kill to get it. Sometimes you kill your family to get it. Sometimes you kill your future to get it. Are you with me? It says you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Well, I like this. I like that. I'll give you a challenge. How many ready for a challenge today? Here's a big challenge. Do you think you could go 30 days and not go on Amazon one time? Some of you could probably do it. Maybe a little easier. I don't know. Well, maybe we should throw Cabela's in there too. Challenge yourself. Say, you know what? Because what happens is we want, we want, we want. We see this little doodad. The devil knows. That's what ads are all about. They make you want things. But here's the difference. We don't need. We just want. And so then we get into debt. We fight with our spouse. We aren't able to do things that we ought to be able to do because we're always wanting something. So let's move on from money. So that's it, Gary. Now let's talk about relationships for just a moment. Another huge area of discontent is in relationships. Well, you know, if I was married to her, my life would be a lot better. Well, if I was married to him, if my husband was like that, the problem is, it's not him, it's not her. It's your discontent. Because, newsflash, there are no perfect people. And you don't know what people's world is. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what she's like. And it's beside the point. You ain't supposed to know what they're like because you need to be content in relationships. Now, when I say relationships, I'm not just talking your spouses. I'm talking about relationships. Let me show you another thing. When you're younger and you're raising kids, the moms say, if I could just have a few minutes to myself. If I could just breathe. If I just didn't have to wash all these flaming clothes that I just washed yesterday. But you've got to be content to your lot. That's your lot. You've got kids, right? That's a 20-year commitment, at least. Okay? So don't get discontent in that. And so, you know what? Moms that are and dads that are raising families, you're going to have less money. So what? Be content. You're going to be frazzled. Get used to being tired. Amen? You'll sleep better. How many can see it? Relationships. I've seen so many, and people like, well, you know, I want this, and I've seen people sacrifice time with their kids. Now, and then you reach the other side of that equation. They call it the empty nest syndrome. And all of a sudden, you're lonely. Your kids are gone on. How dare they move on without you? How dare they not invite you to everything they do? You raised them, by gosh. You gave them their genes. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen? But let me just throw this out. You know, when you get, again, what is your lot? See? Sometimes I tell Robin, I said, let's go on a date. She says, we're on a date 24-7. You know, we can remember the days when we would save our money and get a babysitter and just do everything just to get a little bit alone. And she's like, why do we need to go on a date and pay all that money? We just have a date right here. That's empty. Empty nest syndrome. You know, when the kids were little, can you see how the devil makes... He shortchanges us. Where you're at today, be content. If you're crazy busy with kids, rejoice. You've got people in your life. Okay? If you've reached the empty nest place, enjoy it. You can take longer naps, and you have more money. Amen? And the car does not get as dirty as it once did. Right? Well, grandkids kind of mess things up, but that's a good... Got grandkids, enjoy them. Amen? How about being single or being married? Well, I people go crazy with this. I've got to have somebody, do you? Paul said, if you're single, just be content where you're at. If you're married, be content. If you're single, be content. Quit worrying about it. There are some people, they just believe they can never be happy unless they're single, and there are some married people that think they can never be happy until they get single. See what I'm saying? It's a strategy from hell. When God says, be content where you're at. How about in this area? Hard times. You ever have hard times? And you think, I'll be content when I pass this. When I'm through this. You know, Paul experiences, we don't know what it was, but he had a situation in his life that he did not like. And he called it a thorn in his flesh. He says, 2 Corinthians 12:7, he says, to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. In my flesh, there was something that affected him in life, and it was painful. He didn't say, a soft pillow for your flesh. He said, a thorn. Ever had a thorn? Something that just nagged at him. Something that caused some pain and discomfort in his life. He said, the message, from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Watch this. Three different times, I begged the Lord, take it away. Take away this thing I'm dealing with. Each time, he said, My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. Now watch verse 10. That is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is he saying? He's saying there are times in our lives when we are under attack. It might be physical. It might be the way somebody is treating us. And you see, I can't be this. I can't be content because this person, it might be an ex-husband, an ex-wife. It might be someone. And you know what? God, Paul says you're going to have to be content even with problems. You got problems tonight? And we're in this waiting, holding pattern. Well, when I get all this resolved, when I got that resolved, when I get, you know, when I get rid of all my relatives, I'll be happy. When I get, you know, and so even, you know what, let me just tell you something. The Bible says that God will deal with your enemies. Ever read that before? David talked about it. He said, Lord, deal with them. Sometimes you got real graphic, like break out their teeth or, but let me ask you, what do you do after you give vengeance to the Lord, which is his, right? And you have to go on. What do you do in that inner? Are you just chomping at the bit? Lord, you said you'd get him. It's 10 o'clock. You haven't got him yet. Next thing. You haven't gotten him then. You haven't dealt with that. You haven't gotten. And so so what happens is we're very discontent because we want justice. Let me ask you something. If you want justice for everybody else, maybe you get justice for yourself. That would be the worst thing you could get. How many would have mercy than justice? So what about physical battles? Let's talk about that for just a second. You know, there's times when we're not going to extend. I believe sickness is from the devil. But I'm telling you, there are seasons when you are fighting through something. You ever fought through something? You have to get content when you are battling different things. And the devil fights you. He fights your mind. He tries to, and you have to say, you know what? The Lord has handled it, and I'm going to be content. Even though I've got this thing going on. I've got that thing. I'm fighting through this thing. What do you do while you're standing? What do you do while you're pressing through in prayer? We need to let contentment rule us. Okay, so whatever your bad situation is, whatever it is, it might be a situation in your mind. It might be a situation in ministry. It might be a situation, you know, you've witnessed to somebody and you've tried to help them and they've rejected that or there's been no response. You've got to get content in spite of that. Here's the last area is contentment in ministry. You know, I remember years ago when we knew God had called us to pastor, and so we're like ready to go today and that didn't happen. And it was kind of an interesting time in our lives. We went through a number of things. And not good things necessarily. People attacks and different things we were experiencing. And so finally, we just made a pact between us. You know, it's amazing when a husband and wife together will say, no, we're just going to trust God. We quit being discontent about ministry things. And you know what? Within a year, we were gone. We were pastoring. But I believe God was waiting for us to get content. And it was there were some things that he wanted to accomplish. So over the years, I've done all kinds. I had to learn to get content. You know, I've done music pretty much my whole adult life. And I remember, you know, I was a rock and roll guy. And we got this pastor, and so he was in the band that we had at the time, and he told me, he says, you know, I want you to do some black music, like Diana Ross music. I'm like, pardon me, sir. Or he said, how about some country? Well, I wasn't a country guy. Those things. He wanted me to play the organ. I don't like organs. I never have liked organs. I looked at that big old, you know, how many were those big old organs? 500 pedals, 1,000 keys. And I'm sitting there, you have to take your shoe off to play it. And so you're sitting there, you're doing this thing. Anyways, but I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to fill in where I need it. I learned to play that organ. It was kind of fun, actually. We had a band called Sweet Emotions. Rob was singing with me. We had a blast with it. We look back now, they had costumes with hats and the whole nine yards. She's prettier than Diana Ross, anyhow.
Yeah.
And so we did that. We did country. We did rock and roll. I played the organ. I played the piano. I had to learn to be content in ministry. You know, ministry is not just doing what you want to do. Ministry is doing what needs to be done. And I've done it all. I'll do it all again. There has to be this contentment in ministry. Where am I needed? Okay, that's where I'll be. I end with this. In Psalms 23, it says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. That's a very beautiful picture, isn't it? It's everything is met. Everything is pastoral and wonderful. But it all begins with this statement: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. There's the content. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Now you're on the road to a wonderful life, a fruitful life. You'll sleep good at night. You know, I sat in the house the other night, and, living here in Colorado, it's like a dream. I'm sitting there, and the breeze is just kind of blowing in the living room, and I thought, man, God is good. And I didn't just, you ever just take some time to soak in? You know, there used to be a time when people would sit on the back porch and just watch and do things and soak stuff in. We need to do, there's a contentedness in that. And I will tell you that one of the greatest testimonies you can have in the world is being a content person. Can you sit down? Can you stop for a minute and just rest? I'm preaching to myself too, people that know me. I'm kind of a wild man. But I'm working on it. And I'm letting God help me with it. I want to be content. And again, it's not just in the doing. There's very busy people that they're content. Because it's in here, to your heart, to your spirit first. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight for just a moment.